Yeah, you're very welcome along to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, Derek Riley of Nevo.ie is here with the latest news and reviews in the world of EVs, and he's going to answer some of your questions. Plus,
people around here understand that when I say no, that's the end of the debate. I'm not 2 years out of a dorm room anymore, Charlie. Look around.
Yeah, the social reckoning is on the horizon. We'll look ahead to that new film and revisit the story it tells. As always, you can email the show, techtalk@newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. But we're going to start this week with our dear friend, Derek Riley of Nevo.ie. Derek, how are you?
Very, very good, Jess. I'm in the country, which is always a plus.
Mm-hmm. It's half the battle. And so there's no envy on my part this time round. There's plenty to talk through, as always. Regular listeners will know that at the end of every segment, I throw out offering people to send in questions for you to answer. And the last time you were on, we got quite a few. Because what stood out to me last time was we covered sort of a full breadth of offerings in terms of EVs. We had some Notions ones. We had some smaller, more compact ones that are more affordable, obviously. And people were intrigued. So if you don't mind, if I could just throw some of those questions to you and get your take, if that's all right.
Sure. And I think a lot more people are interested now since we've had the scrappage scheme, which we'll talk about after these questions as well, announced recently, and it's coming on the 1st of July. So a lot more people their interest has been piqued.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great to see. So we will talk about the scrappage scheme, but let's start with an email here from Senan, who said, "Hi guys, I want to ask about the viability of having an EV when you live in rented accommodation without access to a home charger. It seems to detract from the convenience when you can't charge overnight at home. Any input or thoughts would be appreciated." That's from Senan.
So a couple of different things with Senan. Senan, your management company can avail of a grant from the SEAI, the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland. And what that will do is it'll fund towards the rental company or the management company putting in a charger for use of the tenants. Now, it won't be your own charger. It won't be at the more preferred domestic rate that you may have for your apartment, but it's the ability to charge in your parking space or within the parking complex. I have heard of some management companies allowing people to put their charger in their space and running the cable back to their own fuse board or meter box. So then whatever your apartment electricity tariff is, that will be the same as what your EV charger is going to be as well. So there's a couple of different ways of doing it. And there are supports available there from the SEAI because they understand a lot more people are living in apartments. There's a lot more rental accommodation now being bought up. And so this is going to be a case where people would like to go electric, but they may not feel that they can. And then they have to go and use public charging once a week, once every couple of weeks. And it says, not the inconveniences there of having to go and do it, but also the expense of using the public charging network works out roughly the same as, and maybe a small bit cheaper, but as petrol or diesel. So if you're changing to an electric because you want to save money, that's not going to work for you. So a couple of different solutions there for Senan. If he talks to the management company, directs them towards the SEAI website. There's a whole section there on rental properties, and there are solutions there. And there's lots of management companies and rental companies out there using this service.
Yeah, I don't know if I've made this up, so forgive me if I did, but is there a criteria now when people are putting in planning permission for new apartments, new housing complexes, that there has to be a certain number of EV chargers and EV sites for people to charge?
Right, yeah, the government have said if you're building new apartments, buildings in general, like even when we bought our house, there was provisions there so that we could put in a charger easier than if we had to go dig in the footpath or et cetera. So yeah, there's definitely more of a provision there in planning applications. Plus architects and engineers understand that people who go electric or are renting or living in a place, they're going to start going more electric. So it makes sense for them just to put in either communal EV charging spaces, or I have seen some developments where every charging space has its own EV charger. And then you can decide whether it's all via a single company or it's connected back to your own electricity meter box. So there's a couple of solutions for it.
Is it massively arduous? You know, say if I was renting and if I went to my landlord with this notion, say if I was in a house, a rented house, just in terms of, because I know back when I was renting, I used to get a dread in my tummy anytime I had to bring anything to the landlord. Is this a massive headache for them to look into in terms of the paperwork, the compliance, getting it done, blah, 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 blah?
No, it shouldn't be. And it's depending on how nice and how sound the landlord is. It can be down to them you saying, you know what, if you pay for the wiring, stick your charger up on the wall, and then when you move out, you can bring the charger with you. You'll be leaving the wiring after you, but the next tenant will benefit from that. And so some landlords understand, yeah, we need to help with the tenants here. They're looking to put in an EV charger. And so it's down to, it's very much a Jessica anything, how sound is the management company or how sound is the landlord? So I've heard really good examples. I've heard other examples where landlords say, no, you're not doing anything to the house. You're not putting anything on the wall. And unfortunately, it's down to that part. There's nothing to say that they have to offer that service. So yeah, it's definitely something to consider and having those conversations. But when there's support available there for management companies, or if you say to the landlord, you know what, I'll put everything back the way it was before I put up the charger, or you can put up a mobile pedestal. So there's ways and means of doing this, but it's not as hard as if it's a domestic. If you're renting yourself and it's a house, it's you arranging the electrician and you are buying the charger. Whereas if it's an apartment block, there's a bit more to it than that. But if they're a professional outfit, they should be taking this into consideration now.
Yeah, and it's a good thing to just have going forward as well, because as you said, interest is continuing to grow, queries are continuing to grow. You're kind of future-proofing yourself ever so slightly if you, as a board of management or as a property management company, take the initiative here to just do it. Then it's another facility for your tenants. So sending that's.
Yeah, the US, it's a USP for when you're trying to rent in the future to say there's EV charging available, more people will be interested in the property.
Yeah, okay. Well, that was a great question. Thank you for that, Senan. Next up, we have one from Susan who said, "Hi, Jess. I recently changed from an 06 Merc Cabriolet to an ID3 and fell in love, but put the cart before the horse. Get an EV charger at home first because the stress is real. Plus, all the gadgets and gizmos after 06 are cool. Love the show." So she's saying that she would advise people sniff out the charger before getting the car. Is that what you'd advise as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Because there's a grant available, and you have to go to the process of getting the grant. Number one, getting electricians, they're not hanging around because they're not doing anything else. They're busy people as well. You have to pick your charger, understand what type of charger you're going to go for, and then arrange to have it installed. So all of that takes time. Whereas you go in, you put your order in the car, and they'll say the car will be ready for you on the 1st of July for a 262 plate. Or you're buying a pre-owned one, it's ready to go there and then, but you don't have that charger. Having the charger in place. And because the grant is available there, you can put a charger and you might not be buying the car until the beginning of next year, but the charger at least will be done, dusted, up on the wall, ready to go for when you do buy that EV. So she's right. Save yourself the stress. The amount of people that ring me in a panic saying, my new car is coming next Monday. I need to get a charger done in the next couple of days. As I mentioned, electricians are busy people, and getting them to do something short notice, if it's not an emergency, it is something that unfortunately might not be able to happen. So yeah, definitely pick your charger, understand the differences in the chargers. And I think we've talked about it in the past, but I'm happy to go over them again, Jess, just so when people are listening now going, you know what, I'm going electric. What are the different types of chargers?
Yeah, I was just going to say,
Go through them quickly with Jess.
you'll probably give me a kick now, a remote kick, but if you could just, because even now as I'm listening to you, I was going to say, geez, I didn't know you could have different chargers. It shows how much attention I pay, but will you just run us through the chargers?
This is going to be the test time with Jess for all the times we've talked. I'm joking. So the two main types of chargers are what we call tethered and untethered. And one of that means is untethered means there's just no cable attached to it. It's just a socket on the wall. The other one then is tethered, and that means that the cable is constantly attached to the charger, so you don't have to take it out of the boot yourself. You don't have to plug in your own one. When it is a tethered charger, you're looking at, well, do I want a 5 meter? Do I want an 8.5 meter? Where am I positioning it? And where is the socket on my car so that when I pull in and park, is it near to where I actually need to put it? So I always go longer if you can and put it somewhere that it'll suit a lot of different cars because you might change your car in 3 years' time and obviously the charger is still going to be there. So you want to be able to reach all four corners of the car in the car parking space. And then there's a smart charger or a dumb charger. Really, the dumb charger is like a socket on the wall. You can't tell it when to stop, when to start. Some cars will allow you to do that, but then there's smart chargers. So the one that I have at the moment is the new Zappy Glow from My Energy, and it'll do both. You can turn all the smarts off. It'll just be a dumb socket. Plug in, it'll charge. Plug out, it'll stop. Or you can tell it, I only want you to turn on between 11 o'clock at night and 8 o'clock in the morning. So my tariff is with SSE Electricity. I know that's when the cheaper rate is going to be for me. And it'll only, even though I plug it in at 7 o'clock in the evening, it'll only kick on at 11 o'clock at night. And then the following morning, it'll kick off at 8 o'clock in the morning because that's when it goes into daytime rate. And so you can be as smart as, and then there's some of them out there that'll say, I'll only put energy into the car when there's enough solar. And so it'll divert the solar energy into your car. And so, yeah, there's a couple of different things. There's lots of different shapes and sizes and colors out there in the marketplace. So there's a bit of research to be done. And then you might talk to your local electrician and say, well, what ones are you fitting? What ones are causing you less hassle? What do you recommend? And your electrician will tell you what he recommends, so, or she will recommend. So yeah, there's a bit to it, and a great point. And thank her so much for sending in that email, even though she's gone through the wars and gone through the stress of having did not doing it herself. She said, you know what, I'm going to save people some time and email Jess and Derek and forewarn people like that for sure.
Yeah, we love any other sort of little tips and tricks or indeed questions, always send them in, techtalk@newstalk.com. Can I ask my required stupid question of the segment bit now, please? Do you mind?
Yes, you're allowed now, yeah.
So, you know when somebody has the charger outside their house and maybe they're gone away on holidays, what's to stop somebody pulling into their drive and using their charger and using their electricity?
Great question, Jess, and it's not a stupid question, so you're allowed to ask it. So with my charger, there is an RFID card. So I plug into the car and I have to tap and you can hear a little beep. So that means that when I go away, if I'm traveling, I might travel every now and again, Jess, but my driveway will be vacant. And it will, you can plug it in, but it won't work. My brother, Tony, has a charger and there's a pin number on his one. And so there's a couple of different ways. You can lock some of them via the app. And so again, but if it's a dumb charger, just a socket, you won't be able to have that control. So if you are in a public space and you'd ever be concerned that somebody might do that, having the ability to lock it via the app or a PIN number or a card, an RFID card, there are different ways that chargers can allow you to do that.
Okay. Well, that is like, it is genuinely something I've wondered over the last wee while when I've been walking through where I live. I've seen a few of them on the walls with no car in the driveway. And I was just like, maybe everyone isn't as cynical as my brain is. You mentioned it at the top there in terms of the scrappage. What's the crack there?
So government announced a couple of weeks ago that there's a new ICE2 EV. And so that ICE stands for internal combustion engine to electric vehicle. And what they're saying is if you've got a diesel or petrol car 13 years old or over, they're going to give a total of €8,500 off as a scrappage scheme. Now, of that €8,500, €3,500 was already in the mix, was already taken off the price of all EVs. So this is really an additional €5,000 for scrappage of a petrol or diesel car 13 years old or over. They've divided it between the country and the city. So 65% of the fund is going to be for counties outside of urban areas. And 35% is going to be for Dublin, Cork, the major cities, Galway, Waterford, Limerick, etc. So they've balanced that regionally. It's a pilot scheme. It's €10 million. So it's about 1,100, 1,200 cars. And it's starting on the 1st of July. I'm going to forecast, Jess, that this fund is going to be oversubscribed probably before lunchtime on the 1st of July. What we're hearing around the country, there's that many people with old cars that are saying, now is the time I'm going to go electric because the government are giving me an extra €5,000, or the car that they have might be even worth €5,000. And so they're getting a great deal. And then you can buy a brand new EV from 12,975 under €13,000, brand new car, all the warranties, 200 kilometer range. Whereas that older car was probably just doing runs around the school and to bring the kids to training or down getting the shopping or whatever it may be. So it's going to be hugely successful. And the government have said, if this is good, we're going to expand that even more, maybe in the 271 period or the sales period. But lots of people talking about it, lots of people interested in it. And I think it's going to be a raring success.
We were chatting about it here in the News Talk office when it was announced. And one of the questions that came up was about that balancing or the distribution of the ratio of it. And as you mentioned, you know, there's a higher portion available, or, you know, the allocation is higher for those outside of urban areas. And a few people from those regions of the country were making the point that it may not be fully practical, or maybe those people would think it's not fully practical to have an EV because of the infrastructure. So we always mention your beloved Belmullet in examples like this. But if you're living outside an urban area and you don't have, you know, multiple hotels and shops and shopping centres and all the rest where you can charge along the way, I suppose I'm curious as to the rationale here. Is it not better that we get people in urban areas where the infrastructure is good to make the move across and avail of the scrappage scheme?
Great question. And the reason that they've said this is because in more rural areas, the likes of Belmullet or Donegal or Dublin or Dingle, it's more so the only option that that person has is car. There isn't a public transport bus network, Lewis network, train network, etc. And so if you're in Donegal, if you don't have a car, the only way that you can get around is either walking, cycling, or the very infrequent bus in the area. And so they're saying people are going to have cars anyway. We're going to give them extra money and allocate more funds towards them so that if they want to go electric, they can go electric. And the vast majority of people in the country have a driveway, can put in a home charger. And so you're not having that issue with having off-street parking. Because I think one of the in relation to, like we talked about the rental accommodation, off-street parking. So in more urban areas, it's sometimes even difficult to get that home charger.
But again, to the point of in the Belmullet or the Donegal or whatever it is the infrastructure there? I suppose you would need the home charger, right?
100%. Home charger, number one. And then public charging, because even the most affordable electric vehicle that we had, that we looked at on Evo, after the grant is under €13,000 and you're still getting 200 kilometres range, that's getting you halfway across the country. And there's going to be another 600 fast chargers around the country on national primary and national secondary roads. And so there's definitely going to be a much more increase in visibility of public chargers out there. But you're going to be charging at home all the time. You're rarely going to be taking the small EV on coast to coast, Dublin to Belmullet. It's going to be for pottering around. It might be a second car in a house. And so I'd say that these second cars would very rarely see a public charger because it's going to be at home charging all the time.
Okay. Well, look, we might check in July and just see what the uptake is straight out of the gates. If people want to avail of it, like, is Nevo the hub for all this information? Where can people find out more information?
Nevo has all the information. We've got articles, we've got videos, we've got all the rest of it there. It will be handled via your dealer. So okay. If you said, I'll ring up your local dealer and say, I do have a 13-year-old or older petrol or diesel car that's knocking about, and I'm thinking about trading it in. There's lots of dealers out there that have lists as long as their arms because everybody else is looking at this as well. But your dealer will manage it all. They'll take back your car. They'll scrap it and get a certificate of scrappage. And then they'll avail of the €5,000. They'll draw it down. You don't have to do it yourself. They'll also help with the additional €3,500. So they'll look after everything. They'll give you the final price, whatever car you go for after the trade-in. As long as you've been accepted for that trade-in, you can have up to 4 months to buy an EV once you've been accepted to trade in your car.
Okay. Well, that all sounds straightforward enough and great. And that neatly leads us on to the last thing I want to talk to you about this week, which is a new partnership between Bank of Ireland and Nevo, because it's sort of a new hope for people who perhaps are going to avail of this scheme and they want to see what's out there in terms of electric vehicles. The website is boi.nevo.ie. Just talk me through what exactly this is.
Yeah, we've worked with Bank of Ireland on a number of different projects, be it the electric vehicle show, be that the driving experiences. We're working very close with them anyway. But Bank of Ireland wanted to be the first in the market with this new EV hub so that you can go onto the Bank of Ireland website, see electric vehicles, see the monthly prices, be that hire purchase or PCP. So you can understand, okay, that's going to be in my deposit. That's going to be my monthly payment. And you can even apply through that portal then as well to get that finance approved. There are other websites out there that have finance calculators on them, but this one is Ireland's first, where it's an actual marketplace for EVs, where you can go through the whole process and be finance approved, then rock up to your local dealer and say, I'm already finance approved for this car. When can you get it in for me? So it's a real first in the marketplace. And what they're finding is more and more of their customers are going electric because they can see their tap to pay and their debit card usage on charging points. So they can see the increase of people who use Bank of Ireland to say, and it's all anonymized, but they can see that it's been used to charge a car. So they can see a lot more people public charging. And they can see also that they want to do more green lending. And so they're definitely weighing in behind it. So Bank of Ireland and powered by Nevo.ie. They're the finance experts. We're the EV experts. So it was a marriage made in heaven.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I'm just on the website now having a look around. And it is quite interesting to see. Like, I know we talk about it every month. You and I are having these chats every single month. But just to have it broken down and to have it fully searchable and all the rest is very good. So just explain to people how they'd navigate through and what you'd need to have in mind when you're clicking through as I'm doing now. I'm just going shopping for something I'm never going to buy because, as we all know, I can't drive.
Window shopping. Yeah. And so it's understanding what you have as a deposit, whether it's a trade-in vehicle, what's the rough value of that, or do you have a lump sum that you're going to use as your initial deposit? And then understanding the difference in the product. So there's a couple of videos up there explaining what is PCP, what is HP. And so once you know your deposit, once you know the finance package you're going on, you can tell it, okay, this is the length of term that I want, and this is the monthly repayments I'm willing to pay for a car. And so you can start filtering down. You may not realize currently that with the deposit and the monthly amount that you have in your head, God, I didn't realize I could get that type of car, or get that brand of car, or even that size of car, because there's some phenomenal finance rates out there at the moment. Really, like, some brands are doing 0%. Some other brands aren't doing 0%, but you're still getting a really quality car for an affordable monthly amount, and understanding the difference between PCP and HP. And then you can apply, get that financed approved, and then rock up to your dealer. And you can say to them, oh, I'm already finance approved. I just need to know when you're able to deliver the car.
Do you know what I've got distracted a bit? And again, I am paying full attention. But I went into the journey planner, right? Because I do think this is something that would be really useful for people who, you know, do the Dublin to Belmullet or whatever it is, those big journeys. And it kind of gives you an indication of the charging ports along the way, which I am obsessed with. So I've just put in where I live. So I live in Stillorgan in Dublin, and I've put in Ballyshannon, which is where Andrea Gilligan lives. And so it's saying it's 3 hours, 27 minutes for the route that's recommended. But then it also has highlighted the little charging ports along the way.
Yes. When we developed that, it was interesting. We were dealing with a company in the Nordics, and they were like, we don't do that anymore in the Nordics. People just know that there's going to be chargers along the way. But we explained to them that the Irish EV buyer is not there yet with the confidence. Yeah. But they developed that specifically for us. So you can see all this, the AC chargers along the point, along that route to Ballyshannon where Andrea is. And you can see the turquoise ones as well, or teal colours. They are the fast chargers. That's updated every week as well. So you can see the new ones coming on board. And you should have the ability there, Jenis, as well, then to put in the make and model of car that you're thinking about buying. Mm-hmm. And what the journey planner will do on Nevo.ie and on the Bank of Ireland website is it'll give you where you have to stop, if you have to stop, and for how long.
Exactly. That's what it's done. So I've put in that I've lied and said that I have a Kia. Was it a Kia that I put in? But it's told me that I need to stop. Like, I'd have to stop for around 16 minutes, around 10 minutes, and then I'd get there with 15%.
Yes. So it'll give you all that. And you're going to probably stop on, because Ballyshannon, as lovely as it is, and Andrea, hopefully you're listening, you're still going to stop on that journey up to Ballyshannon for a cup of coffee or go to the restroom anyway. And so stopping for 10 minutes here or 16 minutes there. And you can probably tweak that as well, that instead of doing the 10 and the 16, you probably could do a half an hour somewhere and stop for a proper meal, and you're going to be charging anyway. As we always say, Jess, you're charging when you stopped. You're not stopping to charge. And that's the mindset shift.
It is, like, it's, I'm actually kind of blown away by that. I know we've spoken before about different tools that you can utilize to try and map your journey to take the stress and the pain out of it. But again, like, on the times when I've done this journey, and even we went to Cavan there a few months ago, and like, we stopped off at a garage just so everyone can get out and stretch their legs, get a packet of crisps or whatever it is. So it's just good to kind of factor this in. And as you said, it shouldn't be this big dramatic overhaul of what you're doing. It's just like adding a little step into your habits.
Absolutely. It's just breaking it down. And it becomes like, when Andrea does go electric, and we've been chatting about her going electric, when she does go electric, she'll know where she has to stop and charge. If she does, she might buy a car that doesn't need to do it. It'll do that full run without having to stop. But she'd need to get a charger then in Ballyshannon, so that when she's heading back home to Dublin, or you're in Cavan, you know exactly where you're staying, whether it's a hotel or a B&B or an Airbnb, and you'll be picking those because they've got chargers. And when you're in bed overnight, the following morning when you're heading back to Dublin, you know your EV has enough in it to get you home. And it just takes all that stress away, that range anxiety. What we're finding is, even when we do the surveys, the amount of people that think that they're going to be stressed out about it, but then when they get living with it, you don't really start to think about it.
Yeah, a friend of mine a few weeks ago bought her first EV. She got a Renault Zoe.
Just
really nice. But she was saying that she had it in her head that she'd be stressed out all the time. And she just said she doesn't even think about it now. It's just, it's the same as, you know, when you get home from work, you might pop your phone on charge for a few minutes. It's almost as habitual with that as that, even within the few weeks that she's had it. But she said she absolutely loves it. She swapped from a diesel to the Renault Zoe, and has just been loving it.
Brilliant. That's great to hear. She's been listening to our podcasts and radio shows all the time, Jess, I'm sure. She was well armed
Yeah, I'm telling you now, the ultimate influencer, Derek Riley. Right, well, look, as it was great to get through some of those questions and indeed share some of the advice. If you do have any questions for Derek, he's going to be back in a few weeks' time. We will talk about the update on that scrappage scheme. But techtalk@newstalk.com is the place to go. You can also head over to nevo.ie for all of the news, reviews, information that you might need. But for the moment, Derek, thank you so much.
Cheers, yes, thank you.